Hey guys, Tom Laird, voice of advice from a call center geek, CEO at Expedia. Hey, the podcast is brought to you by Expedia Interaction Marketing. We are a 600-seat call center outsourcer. I would love to talk to any of you looking to outsource any of your customer support or your sales functions, looking for political calling or just some extra overflow during the holiday season. If you are looking for any type of USA outsourcing support, hit me up. You guys know my LinkedIn. I'd love to talk.
This is Advice from a Call Center Geek, a weekly podcast with a focus on all things call center. We'll cover it all from call center operations, hiring, culture, technology, and education. We're here to give you actionable items to improve the quality of yours and your customers' experience. This is an evolving industry with creative minds and ambitious people like this guy. Not only is his passion call center operations, but he's our host. He's the CEO of Expedia Interaction Marketing Group and the call center geek himself, Tom Laird.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Advice from a Call Center Geek, the Call Center Contact Center podcast. We try to give you some actionable items to take back in your contact center, improve the overall quality, improve the agent experience, hopefully improve your customer experience as well. My name is Tom Laird. I'm the CEO here at Expedia Interaction Marketing. Expedia is a 600, growing on 700 seat BPO located here in the States. It's good to be back another week, another episode. Guys, I'm tired of AI. Can I just say that? Like, I think we are going through some type of AI withdrawal. Everybody wants to talk about it. I've been posting and talking about it for, I don't know, the last months and months and months. You know, I was looking at the episodes, the last even 10 to 15 episodes, 10 to 15 weeks that we've done this, and everything's been kind of AI driven. And it's almost like we're kind of forgetting why we did the podcast in the first place. And I want to get back to some of the roots, right? Again, there's so much out there on technology, and we can continue. And I'm sure we're going to, as we're going into 2024, continue to talk about contact center technology, how the AI is impacting and influencing all the levels, right? From that first touch point down to the agent experience, to improving the customer experience as well. But I have a lot of questions from you guys, especially on TikTok, that people DM me and we get into these conversations because they finally read the book and they have questions on the actual operations of their contact center that goes beyond technology. And I want to kind of get back to that today. One of the big things that I've been asked a lot about too is just even the setup and the management structure of your contact center. You know, how do supervisors, what are ratios, and we've kind of talked about this in episodes, but it's been almost, you know, over a year since we've kind of delved into this. So again, I want to kind of stay away for one episode here, get back to our roots, talk about contact center management, talk about the structure of your teams, at least how we do it here at Expedia, and how we have found that this really works well for us. And I think you can take that blueprint if you're a manager of a contact center and utilize that for yourself. So technology is going to be here. We're going to be talking about it forever. So I think this will be nice to kind of sit back and kind of go back to kind of the roots of the podcast of trying to help some of you guys that maybe are newer in the space or are a call center manager that just took over. And kind of how does the structure of your teams and that work? So we're on LinkedIn. We're live on LinkedIn. We're live here on TikTok. If you guys have any questions, you know, we'll do this as an AMA. Please ask away as we go. But I just wanted to kind of, you know, talk structure again and talk maybe how we see a little bit of an evolution and how we've changed a little bit with this new technology and how the structure of our contact centers are set up from a management standpoint. But, you know, we still have, from a hiring standpoint, we have a full HR, internal HR, like I'm sure most of you guys do too. How we get our agents is mostly social media and word of mouth and referrals, right? So again, we're not huge. So it's not like I got to find 2,000 agents in a three month period or a 3 week period, right? Well, maybe we did during COVID a little bit, but so we'll put a bunch of stuff on Facebook. We put a bunch of stuff out on Indeed. We do a lot of referral programs internally with our agents, right? So, you know, if again, I always go back to, if you like the culture of your contact center, if you like the people in the actual center, then those are the times to do referral programs. If you think you got some knuckleheads in there, right, maybe you don't do it, right? Because, I don't know, what do they say? Like, you're the sum of the five closest people that you hang out with, right? So if you like that culture, referral programs can be, can really help you, you know, bring in really high quality contact center agents, management, and just team members in general. Right. So when we come in for an initial interview, we still do it live. We're all work from home, but we still have a, you know, about 30,000 square feet here in Pennsylvania in Erie. And we still bring everybody in to do internal interviews. We're not doing anything over, you know, over the internet with that. So you have to come in, you talk to HR. If HR likes you, they will bring you in for a second interview, talk with the another HR person, or a lot of times the production management lead. We call our OICs, officer in charge, which we'll talk about here in a minute. And then, you know, we'll hopefully start you in a training class. From a training class standpoint, we don't really like classes that are over 25 agents. Most of our classes are in that 10 to 15 range. You know, 25 agents is totally fine. If we have to go to 40, we'll do 40. But, you know, really, I like the more hands-on, really smaller class sizes. I think that that helps. We are still doing all of our training in-house. So you do come in. We do give you your computer here. Whatever training, I mean, again, as you guys know, for a lot of you financial services and very higher level contact centers, you could have a 6-week train, right? And 6-week trains for us are pretty normal, but I would say on average is probably 2 to 3 weeks. So they'll come in, they'll do a week of Expedia training. We'll do 2 to 3 weeks then of client training. We'll nest and we'll stay here on site while we're doing all that. Make sure every agent feels comfortable before they get sent home on their own. You know, the last like 3 or 4 days, we have the supervisor go in another room. They just use Slack so that, you know, a new agent can get used to it. Cause a lot of times you'll have a supervisor, you know, kind of, or a team lead right with you, or even a training, one of our trainers with you. So from a ratio standpoint in training, we try to keep it 5 to 1, 6 to 1. And that includes, you know, our quality assurance, team leads, supervisors, trainers, right? We can kind of keep that to a really, really low ratio, which I think is really important. Make sure that they really understand everything that they're doing. So once that happens, then we give them all their equipment. They get their computer, they get their mouse, they get, you know, everything they need. We pack it up for them. They bring that home with them. And then we start kind of going, you know, with the work from home. So once they get home, you know, we have found, and again, I think kind of industry average 15 to 16 to one. We started a little bit smaller when we first went from home from a ratio standpoint, but that's about where we are now, 15, 16 to one for actual supervisors to agent or agent ratios. If there's any issues, again, that come up, it's not too overwhelming. We do have team leads. They're not on every single team, but our team leads for us are pretty much our management trainees. So we do that a little bit differently. We say, hey, listen, you know, not only can you be, we do have a couple kind of leads that don't really want to be management. They just say, hey, we've been here for a long time. You know, pay me more. I'll help a little bit, but I don't really want to do that. And we do have a team lead status. But for most of our team leads, they have applied. They've become management trainees so they can help and take the team over if the supervisor's out or, you know, things like that. And I think that's been really helpful as well. Just a couple questions here on TikTok. Are we available in any state? Yes, if you want to apply at ExpediaUSA.com, you can apply. Again, we do have some of our agents, again, that have a lot of experience that are outside of Pennsylvania. But for the most part, everybody's kind of about 45 minutes. And it's like Erie, PA's here, Buffalo, Cleveland, Pittsburgh. So we're, again, in that quarter right on Lake Erie. And again, I think we just found that it really works well. When you come in here, you see us, you meet us, you know, I don't know, we can high five you, we can talk, you can, you know, you get to know that supervisor a little bit, right? Instead of just doing everything digitally or, you know, through video, I think that makes a big difference. So that's kind of what we look at, 15 to one. Again, we've done a full podcast on like kind of how we have our supervisor, how their day goes. Right. And I think if you're interested in that, kind of check out some of our previous. I don't really want to get too deep into that, but you know, everything from team meetings to how many touch points a day does the supervisor actually have with each of their agents, you know, individual goal setting, those kind of things, going over any QA or anything that comes up. You know, we kind of talk through all that. There's a bunch of episodes that are on that if you are interested in that. again, we kind of talk about that supervisor ratio. We have our management, we have our team leads. Now, if you want to become a here, like for a supervisor or a team lead, we will open that up. We try to really hire only our supervisors. Very rarely will we hire it from outside. We want to just develop that talent here internally. And again, if you want to be go into HR, if you want to go into client services, wherever you want to go, right? And you start on the floor, that's kind of the just, I guess, the first kind of movement for that. Talk about quality assurance. Now, this is where we've seen the biggest upheaval with AI, right? Normally, you know, we have 600 to 700 agents. We try to keep it about a 40-to-1 ratio, right? So I don't know, 10 to 12, 13, something like that, QA staff to where they're scoring calls. We don't have them coach. We have the supervisor actually coach, but they will score the call. If there's an issue, talk to the supervisor. Supervisor will listen to it. And then the supervisor, just because they have that relationship. I know a lot of organizations do it the other way, where their QA does the coaching. We've just found that they don't have the full relationship with that person, don't really know them. And so a supervisor, I think, can have a little bit better rapport with those guys. So we have the supervisor actually doing the coaching. With all of this AI, though, and if you have been following this at all, you know that we are starting kind of a whole kind of separate side company called AutoQA, OTTOQA, where we're using ChatGPT to fully score calls. And we have been doing that internally for our clients. So that team has totally pared down, which has been good. We really haven't laid anybody off. Those guys have either gone back onto the floor, they've become supervisors. They've been able to beef up our training. So there's been some spots for those guys that is different and unique, because AI, I think, is having the biggest impact, at least for us. The lowest hanging fruit has been quality assurance scoring, because it can do it so well, especially once we have developed, the proper prompting, done a lot of R&D with that as we're trying to develop our product. It's really cool to be able to have our kind of a testing ground with our clients, with all the QA. So again, no longer is it, we still have a couple clients that don't want us to utilize, ChatGPT for it. So there are still some that are manually scoring, but for the most part, we've been able to use AI to fully score all of our calls, which is kind of, again, has been a really, really big change. If you are in the cloud, I think one of the main benefits of being in the cloud is the lack or the non-use of IT. You don't need that many IT folk, right? I mean, we have about 2.5, two guys that are fully full-time, and then we have a part-time network person, right? So those full-time IT guys are basically telephony experts. They can do things from a full integration. Now, we have another business that does professional services and does kind of, if that's all you want. But for our internal team, I'm only utilizing 2 IT guys, right? Because we use NICE CXone. We're fully in the cloud. We can integrate with everything. Things are really easy when you kind of really learn your platform. And so we become experts on that. So that's been a really cool way to not have to have a huge IT team. I think if you're on-prem, it's different, man. Like, I mean, you need more network guys. There's a ton of servers that can go down. Like, again, we don't even have a server here anymore, right? Everything we do is in the cloud. Now, there's a backup server if things do go wrong, but from a day-to-day standpoint, it's just kind of our backup, and it's writing to it, but everything we're doing has been written to the cloud. So that's been, kind of something I think that really helps us as well. We do have and I've done a couple episodes on this, have a full management trainee program, right? So if you are a team lead, we try to help you as much as we possibly can, from not only helping that supervisor that you're with, but also, everything from, the legal aspects, like, what is sexual harassment? What can you say? What can't you say? How do you use the platform? How do you use analytics? I think that's the other thing too, is our QA team has moved now to become less about, scoring calls. And one of the other things, we've really got them deep into the analytics piece, right? So they're the ones that are creating reports for our clients that are showing sentiment scores, that are showing trending keywords, phrases. What are some of the things that clients want to hear, right? They want to know how many times a specific thing is said. Again, you guys always hear me use the example of, we have a retail toy company that we can tell them 35% of your customers use the phrase too expensive about talking about this product. Right. So analytics has totally changed. You know, just we're not just, you know, taking calls and answering them, but being able to give that marketing data as well. Nothing earth shattering or breaking here, but wanted to just kind of talk. I get a lot of questions on ratios, right? Like, what is your ratio for training? What is your ratio for production, right? And again, that 5 to 6 for training, 15-ish to 1 for production. Now, if we have something that's a little bit more technical, a little bit more difficult, if we have newer agents, we may lower that to, you know, right around that 12 to 1. But that's about where we are from a ratio standpoint. Oh, workforce management as well. So we're normally about, I used to say 150, but with technology now we have 2 workforce managers, right? So, you know, 300 to 1, and both of those guys kind of help each other for the entire company. Again, that's workforce management, and it's a little bit heavier. And I think if you were just an internal call center, you probably only need 1 person, but with how many clients we have, right? You're doing forecasting for, you know, 6 or 7 different clients, right? For, you know, the end of the year, for next week, for next month. You have somebody that's doing real time, right? Schedule adherence and breaks and those kind of things. So again, supervisors are taking a lot of that, but the WFM guys are kind of the backup for that, making sure as they're watching that everything is being managed the right way. So yeah, guys, that's kind of what I have, for today. Hopefully this answers a lot, especially on TikTok. Again, a lot of you guys, and I love the engagement on TikTok, and a lot of the DMs have been on this topic of setting up your contact center. What is the right way to do it? You know, and again, this is super high level. If you guys have any questions for me, you know, please feel free to dig a little bit deeper. But that's kind of how we set up our contact center. And again, we're different. We're BPO. You guys, if you're an internal center, you're not going to have client support. So, you know, we have, you know, full client support. So you're not putting tickets in if you have a problem, right? Everything is one touch point for any issues or anything that you may have, from whether it's production, reporting, all of that stuff. And again, from a reporting standpoint, the cool thing about, again, being in the cloud is every client sees the real-time dashboards like we do. We just set up security profiles. So we could have, you know, 500 clients. Well, we don't. But if we had 500 clients, we could have 500 different dashboards set up for each client. So they can see service levels. They can see handle times, right? They see the exact same data that we do. And then any reporting that they want, we send out the next day if there's something specific that they want to see daily. And then normally there's like end of month and then quarter and then year, and that kind of stuff gets sent out. So, but again, being in the cloud has allowed us to not really have to have somebody that's like a data analyst that is a reporting guru, because everything is done. It's really, really simple to do. You know, when you're just looking at the cloud and looking at all these telephony metrics, and then even looking at kind of sales and conversion data as well, that we can kind of tie all that stuff in there. So that's what I got, guys. Again, this is kind of a quick one, 17 minutes. Hopefully this answers a lot of questions that you guys especially have had on TikTok, that I've been getting in some DMs on LinkedIn. Again, that's kind of how the back end of our contact center is set up, from a ratio standpoint, from a management standpoint. Oh, one more thing. I probably should say this too, is, you know, we have our supervisor teams, you know, that are 15 to 16 to 1. I can't believe I didn't talk about this earlier, but we have 3, we call them OICs, and you guys might just call them call center managers, right? But OICs, officer in charge. So we kind of split. Now, initially we had it split into different channels. Like, one was financial services, one was retail, and one was kind of everything else, more salesy stuff. But we've kind of merged so many different types of channels that now we just basically have them broken up into 3 kind of equal segments, where they're in charge of those supervisors, making sure that, you know, they're meeting, you know, all their goals and kind of talking through if they have any issues with supervisors, but having that kind of one level, I guess, kind of above us or below us, that can help those guys out and really just drive the supervisor to try to help them in any way they can. So that's kind of our structure, right? Is kind of, I guess, like this kind of upper management level. Our call center managers, our OICs, officer in charge, right? We have our supervisors, and then kind of our team leads / management trainees. And then kind of, I guess there'd be kind of dotted lines to kind of EQA to training. And then over here is kind of IT that we have kind of set up. So Yeah, that's kind of how the structure of Expedia, how we're kind of set up, how I think it works really well, especially from the ratio standpoint for how a lot of you guys might want to set your stuff up. But if you have any questions on that, please let me know. I can dig so much deeper into this. This is, again, extremely high level. I hope that this helps a couple of you guys out there. If you have any questions, you know, please let me know. TikTok, I'll hang out for a couple more minutes. If you guys have anything that I know there was a couple funny questions, a couple mean questions, and a couple serious questions that have already popped up, which is pretty close to what I expect now from going live on TikTok. But anybody on LinkedIn, DM me, hit me up. Let me know if you guys have anything else. More than happy to answer any question. Oh, and also, have a great Thanksgiving.